one time a poem spilled out of me, and the poem ended with these words: "We are the creation of the forces of life, an eternal blend of ecstasy and strife, living as long as the universe stays, which is forever through the galaxy's nights and days. From the Big Bang's beginning to the black hole's destruction is but a day in the life of our cosmic construction. We'll live forever with the stuff of stars, ever changing, ever growing. Born into this life, born into that, changing this form for the one that comes next. An eternal part of an eternal creation, a quintessential piece of divine revelation." The goal of being successful financially is a completely empty goal, and it is really good to reflect on your purpose in life, or if you have trouble with that phrase even, your vocation or calling. I love that phrase, purpose, and I love that your show is called Living on Purpose, because I think that's the most valuable thing of all to reflect on. Love every part of yourself, even the parts you don't like. Love everyone else and love your dreams and go for them.
Okay, and we're back. And I have Mark on the line. Hi, Mark Allen.
Lynn.
How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. How are you doing?
Great. And you're in California right now?
Yep. Where are you?
In Nanaimo on Vancouver Island on the west coast of Canada.
Oh, right. Yes.
Yeah. You are the man at New World Library?
Well, I started this thing.
You did it.
Fortunately, I now have about 18 other great partners here.
Great. Yeah, that shares the wealth a bit.
Yeah.
I'm curious to know the ideas of As a Man Thinketh, which a lot of the listeners may have heard. I don't know if I've ever actually read it, but I've certainly heard about it forever. It was originally written in 1904.
Yes, for 15 years I said it's the best book I ever read, and that book changed my life. I started reading it as a total poverty case, and I just read it over and over, and I put big quotes from it on my wall in big letters. Like, you will become as great as your dominant aspiration. If you cherish a vision, a lofty ideal in your heart, you will realize it. And then I even edited the book, and we published it called As You Think, which in some ways is slightly better. It's updated a little bit, and it has no so-called sexist language.
Oh, yeah.
It's gender neutral. But we've done a great CD version of it and a beautiful little book version of it called As You Think. But it's virtually untouched. It's amazing how something written in 1904 is still so relevant today.
Yeah. It's so popular to be revisited these days with the whole law of attraction idea. You are what you think. Your circumstances reflect your thoughts rather than the other way around.
Yeah.
I think it was in the 40s and 50s there was a lot of that kind of writing going on.
Yeah. Even in the beginning of As You Think, he says this won't be another lengthy book on the much discussed topic of improving your life, or however he puts it. Apparently, even then, this was a very popular genre.
As long as people have been around, they've been trying to figure out how to make it better for themselves.
Yeah. It is the perennial philosophy. I think Huxley nailed it with that phrase. We published a beautiful prose version of the Bhagavad Gita that was written, it was probably 5,000 BC. It might even be further back there, but it's way back. Probably one of the first things ever put down in writing. And it is absolutely in alignment with As You Think and with The Power of Now and other great books on this topic.
Mm-hmm.
It has phrases in there like, even in the knocks of life, we can find great gifts. That's one I put up on my wall. That's a little technique I do that I think has changed my life. When I'm reading a book and read something that has impact, I put it in big letters and stick it up on my wall. So I remember it.
That's right in your face.
Right in my face. Because I think we all know we're creative geniuses. we all have moments where we glimpse our enlightenment and our great purpose in life, but then we forget over and over and over. We forget as we're swept up in all these little frustrating details of life. And we just need to keep reminding ourselves over and over. So for me to put big words up on my wall keeps reminding me.
Now, you mentioned that first one that you put up on your wall when you were in more dire circumstances. And would you say that it's sometimes hard to track? Like once you start things in motion and then all of a sudden later you're further on down the path and you look back and you think, now, how did exactly that happen? Do you find that it's sort of hard to track all the steps along the way later?
It is. It's challenging. And I ended up writing a big book called The Millionaire Course about 3 years ago, and it took me 3 years to write it. And that's exactly what I did. I looked back over 25 years and said, okay, the day I would turn 30, I remember vividly I was a complete poverty case. I had no job, no assets of any kind. And that day I decided to start a publishing company with no money, nothing. And then I looked back over what happened, what changed my thinking. I still chuckle to this day many times a day about different things. Like, I was just remembering how when I started the publishing company, I had no vehicle. I literally had no assets of any kind. And I needed a truck because I was starting to print these little books. And I tried to save $1,000 to get a truck. Yeah. I went and I got a job. That was the only thing I could think of to start my company. It was, well, get some kind of job, any job, and save 20% to put into your company. So I did that. I got a perfectly horrible job as a typesetter, and I tried to save 20%. In reality, I saved about 5%, I think. Uh-huh. And I put it into my first little things, and I was trying to save $1,000 for a truck, and I could not save $1,000. I'd get $200-$300, and then I'd need it for something like rent.
Yeah.
I was such a poverty case. Then it took about 5 years to turn that company into something really profitable, and probably about 10 years for me to really reach a level of abundance where I had all kinds of reserves and where my reserves were making more money than I was making in my company.
Hmm.
And so I just chuckle today. I mean, I look at Schwab and I see, oh, boy, it's up. I'm up $15,000 today. And I just chuckle thinking,
yeah, what a contrast.
I couldn't save $1,000. I remember it so vividly. So I really did try to track in Millionaire Course exactly what affected me. I remember very specific times and things. One was definitely that book, As You Think.
Mm-hmm.
Another, I know at my financial low, where I was $65,000 in credit card debt, and our company was on the verge of bankruptcy. We had a distributor that collapsed and everything. I just heard a phrase on the radio on some PBS station. I didn't hear who said it. Later on, someone said, oh, that's Napoleon Hill. But I heard this phrase. I pulled over and wrote it down, and then I put it in big letters by my phone. And I think this single phrase changed my life and turned my business around.
Okay, take note, everybody.
Take note. Get out your paper and pen.
I'm ready.
Because the phrase is, within every adversity is an equal or greater benefit.
Hmm.
I wrote that down. Later on, someone said, well, Napoleon Hill said it, and the phrase is really, within every adversity is the seed of an equal or greater benefit. But it's the same thing. Later on, underneath it, I wrote, within every problem is an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
I put it in my words. And then later on, I did find in the Bhagavad Gita, even in the knocks of life, we can find great gifts. So I wrote that down. So I have those three big phrases by my phone. I had it for years. I don't need it anymore because I've just got it etched in my subconscious. So literally, whenever I start thinking, oh, this is a problem, or somebody comes and says, oh, we got a problem here, I immediately acknowledge the problem, but then I immediately start thinking, what possible benefits could there be here? What opportunities and what gifts? That question turned my thinking around. That question, I think, turned my whole company around. Because rather than focusing so much on the problems, like near bankruptcy and being $65,000 in credit card debt, where I couldn't even make minimum payments, those were the problems. I started asking myself, what benefits are in this situation? What opportunities? What gifts? And I immediately got answers.
Like what?
Well, I realized in terms of the bankruptcy, it was because I was always looking for somebody else to take responsibility who knew more than I do.
Hmm.
I started a company. I'd been a musician. Before that, I was an actor. I had no business experience whatsoever. Never taken a course in it or anything. So my first 5 years, I was always looking for somebody else who knew more than I did to help me out. And it led to chaos. And I got, when I asked that question, what opportunity is this? I got the answer that, Mark, you need to take full responsibility for this baby. You started it. You're going to turn it around. It's up to you. You know all you need. I got that creating a successful business is very easy. They're very simple rules that haven't changed in hundreds of years. By contrast, parenting is far more difficult.
Yeah.
There's no good book on parenting because the rules change all the time. Kids change all the time. Everything changes. But business hasn't changed. The rules have not changed in hundreds of years. And they're very simple. It's not rocket science. It's not brain surgery. They're very simple. All you need are three simple things together, and neither one is complex. All you need is, one, a good product or service, and the key to success there is do what you love to do. Number two, you need some way to market and sell that product and service, and the key there is have a multi-pronged strategy that does not take no for an answer. You try the internet, you try live seminars, you try what's been done before successfully, and you try something totally new out of the box. You keep trying until you find something that works. And then the only third thing you need, and this is what took me 5 years after starting my business, is financial control. You need a very conservative person as a bookkeeper, or if you don't have it, you have to put on your conservative hat at least once a month and look at your financial situation and watch those expenses and get those expenses down and get your income up to the point where that income exceeds those expenses. It's all very simple.
Ironically, now would you say that the money, because you're in better shape financially, it matters more when you don't have it than when you do?
Oh, yes. Yes.
And then other purposes to life, being financially stable cannot possibly be the only purpose to life, right?
Right. And that's what you learn along the way, that the goal of being successful financially is a completely empty goal. And it is really good to reflect on your purpose in life, or if you have trouble with that phrase even, your vocation or calling. I love that phrase, purpose, and I love that your show is called Living on Purpose, because I think that's the most valuable thing of all to reflect on. I was once on Fox on Money. I don't know why they had me on there. They flew me to New York. I spoke between two stockbrokers for half an hour, and they were so worried that I would say something ungrounded and too West Coast, as they put it. And everything went pretty well until a guy called in and said, Mark, I've been listening to you, and I am doing what I love to do. I mentioned that. He said, but I feel like I'm on a big treadmill, and I'm just getting further and further behind and more in debt. What's my problem? Well, I had to give the 30-second TV quick answer. So I said, I think it's one of two things. You're either letting your doubts and fears overwhelm your dream, where they're becoming dominant rather than your dream becoming dominant, as James Allen says, and as you think. You know, it's your dominant aspiration. You will become as great as your dominant aspiration. If your thoughts and fears are dominant, they will undermine your dream, your aspiration. So it's either that, I said, or else maybe you're not doing what is in alignment with your purpose in life.
Mm-hmm.
And the interviewer's eyes got huge, and she said, oh, we're getting way too metaphysical here, and cut to commercial.
Oh, no.
And then looked at me like, how could you say purpose on national TV? And I said to her, I mean that in a very practical way.
Yeah.
I think that getting clear on what your purpose is can affect your life in a very grounded, practical way. It can prevent you from having 10, 20, 30, 40 years of misdirected purpose. As James Allen says, and as you think, until thought is aligned with purpose, there is no intelligent accomplishment. That's brilliant. So, of course, it's great to reflect on our purpose and make sure our work and our thoughts are aligned with it. Then we really have intelligent accomplishment.
Speaking with Mark Allen, by the way, if you're just tuning in, he's in California and he is at New World Library. A lot of us have trouble figuring out what we want and where we're going. So in the meantime, what would you suggest to cultivate at least getting the right orientation in our minds and cultivating that discipline to get a clearer sense of where we would like to see ourselves go?
That's a great question. I am asked that at every seminar I give. When I get to my section on purpose, I always have a section on it because it's one of the great keys to success.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody inevitably asks that. Oprah Winfrey even said, until you know what your purpose is, the best thing you can do is find out. Or no, she says, until you know what your passion is.
Okay.
But I think passion and purpose are completely aligned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there is a great book for people that really need a lengthy career consulting course called Work with Passion by Nancy Anderson, Work with Passion. It's a great course from a career consultant. But what I just say is, if you don't know what your purpose is, keep asking yourself what it could possibly be and listen for answers. If that doesn't work, maybe you need to take a break from your day-to-day, take a vacation, and go reflect on your purpose. Maybe you even need to do something like some kind of vision quest, whatever that means to you. Something that gets you off alone, perhaps. Something that allows you to reflect on it and dream about it. And then if you even have problems with that, I've been saying to some people, well, I know what your purpose is. Because in a way, even though we're all totally different individuals, we all have the same great purpose. And I know what that is.
Are you going to tell us?
Yes, I will tell you. It's every morning now. Another thing that totally changed my life is, years ago, I started to just walk around my house in the morning and pray. And I ask for guidance, and then I get quiet. And my guidance is almost exactly the same, and it's my purpose, and it seems to me it's everybody's purpose. Because I just say, well, Creator, whoever created all this wonderful creation, whatever name we call you, what advice do you have for me? And I get this same thought every morning, love, serve, and remember. And I say, remember what? And I get, remember to love and serve. That fulfills your purpose. Remember that love overcomes all fear. So that's a very practical use of these highfalutin words.
Sure, yeah.
And remember who you are. And this is where we need to find it in our own words, what works for us. What works for me is, I am a child of God. I am loved as much as I love my son, which is infinite and powerful and completely without conditions, unconditional love. We are all loved that way. This life we have is this wonderful blessing and treasure. And we're here to fulfill ourselves in some unique creative way. And it will always boil down to loving and serving ourselves and others. That's our purpose in life, to love and serve ourselves and others.
Mark, I have a real West Coast question for you.
Great.
Do you believe in past lives and reincarnation?
You know, I definitely do because I had two near-death experiences.
Ah.
And my consciousness went soaring out of my body, and I had this wonderful, euphoric journey that went on and on. Mm. And when I came back, I didn't even want to come back. I wanted to continue. But I got this message, no, I have a lot to do yet in this life. But I do find that our attempts to explain past lives, while we're here so fully embodied in this one, to me, the analogy I got when I came back and tried to describe it even, it's like a five-year-old trying to understand quantum physics.
Yeah.
We just don't have a big enough perspective to really understand it. I absolutely know life goes on and on, but I start to wince when people say, well, I had a past life reading, and they were always Cleopatra or somebody, you know, they were never the guy that cleaned the bathrooms in the temple. They were always the head priestess. And that, to me, I think it's very childlike. But I do know one time a poem spilled out of me, and the poem ended with these words. We are the creation of the forces of life, an eternal blend of ecstasy and strife, living as long as the universe stays, which is forever through the galaxy's nights and days. From the Big Bang's beginning to the black hole's destruction is but a day in the life of our cosmic construction. We'll live forever where the stuff of stars, ever changing, ever growing, born into this life, born into that, changing this form for the one that comes next, an eternal part of an eternal creation, a quintessential piece of divine revelation.
Beautiful. You said that that just poured through you?
Yeah, as fast as I could write it.
Wow.
I didn't even know what quintessential meant when I wrote it. Spilled out, and then I looked it up, and it's the perfect word.
Excellent. I think it's really important, just going back to that quote from Napoleon Hill, that within every adversity is the seed of an equal or greater benefit.
Right.
That it's important to not get discouraged, and that even though there's words for failure and mistake and all that, there really is no such thing, I think. That if we can have patience with ourselves and with the process of unfolding,
right.
I think that really helps a lot. Now, there was a quote from your CD that I listened to again here to refresh, that if you see your purpose in life as a duty and focus your thought on that, that it becomes the royal road to self-control.
Yes, I love that.
I love that too, yeah.
Right. Yeah, it's all there in that James Allen book. It's all there in so many things.
Yeah.
We keep hearing it all the time. We just keep forgetting it over and over. And you're right, discouragement, that's the big enemy. And the way to overcome that is through love, realizing it's love and service. So we keep loving what we want to do.
Yeah.
Keep loving that goal. And yes, we get discouraged. It's just natural, especially if we're dreaming big, which I encourage everyone to do, and go for a big purpose and go for a big dream of great success, as we choose to define success. Go for our ideal scene, as big as we can imagine. Well, the bigger you dream, the more doubts and fears come up.
Yeah, that's true.
And that becomes a lot of the work in dealing with those doubts and fears. But the ultimate way through all those doubts and fears is love, love, love. Love every part of yourself, even the parts you don't like. Love everyone else and love your dreams and go for them.
Yeah, I just wanted to come back for a minute before we're complete here, Mark, in your suggestion to the listeners to take yourself out of your routine to allow some space for things to come in, some new thoughts and a new clarity about where your vision is directing you. I just wanted to add to that thought that even if you think that you can't afford to do that, everyone can afford to take a few minutes to alter their routine. There's a payoff to being blinded by the routine, right? Because it's safe and familiar, but it's also increasingly scary because you know you're ignoring a really big part of yourself by doing that. And so even if you just drive home a different way or walk home a different way or take a few minutes to sit by some water somewhere that you don't normally do, you immediately wake up. It takes only a minute, doesn't it?
Yes. It doesn't have to be a special expensive vacation.
No.
I try to just keep following my heart, some woman's writing a book called Internal Guidance System, and she says it goes from your stomach to your throat, between there, your chest.
Yes.
And like just the other day, I was heading into the office. I remember I had to do something. It was real important. But I forgot to turn to head on to the main road, and I went straight ahead. And I thought, oh, I guess I'm supposed to take a walk because that way went into the woods.
Oh.
And so I took this walk in the woods, and I even sat and meditated. And then as I did, bam, exactly the letter I was supposed to write that was so tricky spilled out as fast as I could write it. I always carry paper in my pocket.
Good.
And a pen. And I did that whole letter in a minute. And then I realized, oh, my day's work is done.
Yeah.
All I have to do is go in and write it down.
It's very simple, really. And it's all about learning. It's all about just growing and learning and keeping the image of the garden in that line of thought, too.
Yeah. I do love that. It's a friend of mine said about my business once, he said, Mark, you're a gardener, not an architect. And I thought of James Allen, and I thought, he's right. I love growing things slowly from a seed rather than people pitch architectural ideas to me all the time, meaning, oh, we could take your company and combine it with that company. And I'm always saying, no. I love gardening.
Yeah, and harvesting.
Yes.
Hey, Mark Allen, it's been great talking with you.
Well, thank you, Lynn.
Yeah.
It's been enjoyable.
And
a wonderful show. It's wonderful to reflect on these things.
Yes, it certainly is.
It's very important. It can change our lives. I sometimes say we're all magicians, and we all visualize all the time, but most of us spend far more time visualizing what we want for lunch in our lives than we do visualizing what do we want to do with the rest of our lives.
Yeah, and every little bit of thought turned in that direction can accumulate into a real change of life, into exactly what you hopefully hope for, not what you fear.
Yes. Like James Allen says, every thought bears fruit. It can and will bear fruit for good or bad.
Yeah. Well, any final thoughts?
Oh, it's been a good talk. I appreciate your show. I appreciate the whole phrase, living on purpose. It's very important to reflect on these things occasionally.
Well, and I really appreciate that in the introduction to the CD that you put together of As You Think, that you very clearly say that you love your job and you love what you're doing with your life, because I think it's really important. I feel that way too about everything I'm doing, and I think that starting and continuing with that attitude of gratitude can only bode well.
Yeah.
So thanks for doing that.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. Well, I bid you a good day, and I'll be in touch with you.
Excellent.
All right. Thanks so much, Mark.
Great talking to you, man.
Okay. Bye-bye. And that was Mark Allen on the phone from California, from New World Library.